Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, the last couple of days, we've been looking at the four living creatures that Ezekiel mentions that he, in the first chapter, where he was in a vision by the river Kibar, and he experienced a revelation from God, and he begins to share what that is. And we looked at these living creatures the last few days. We were looking that, making a comparison that the living creatures resembled, in terms of their characteristics, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, their origin, we talked about, they were birthed out of a whirlwind, a great cloud, fire, and this is, of course, suggestive of the church as it was birthed on the day of Pentecost. There was a great and mighty wind, tongues of fire that appeared on each of their heads as the Holy Spirit was given to the church. The church was born on the day of Pentecost, and He frequently, and I gave scripture passages throughout scripture similar to what John experienced in the book of Revelation, where these living creatures, they were literally living ones. Their character was they were not dead. They were very much alive. And we have been associated with the source of all life, the living God. We are the ones that have been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are the living ones, and our life is, we are the branches on the vine, if you will. We're partakers of His divine nature, and as such, the children of God and heirs of eternal life. Well, now let's take a moment to look at their appearance. The four creatures who appeared from out of the cloud were human in general form, but they had four wings and four faces. In verse 5, it says they had the likeness of a man. This is really fascinating. We, the church, as members of Christ's body, are created after the image of the Son of God. We are created, once we're born again, in righteousness, after the image of Jesus, created in righteousness and true holiness. The church is meant to be the likeness of the man Christ Jesus. When he walked the face of the earth, he said, "I'm departing to my Father, but the works that I do, even greater works than these, shall ye do, because I go to my Father." And the faces that are found on the living creatures are symbolic of the church, our divine nature that we've been given in Christ Jesus, and various aspects of our service. They're very fascinating. First of all, there's the face of a man. Now that, of course, man was made in God's image, it represents intelligence and wisdom, as well as reverence in worship. Adam and Eve knew instinctively, they knew that that God was their Father and that He was God, and they were to live in fellowship with Him and worship Him and walk in righteousness and obey His at that point, one command, which was not to eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. So there's the face of the man, and then there's a face of a lion. Even in the natural, in terms of our worldly understanding, we relate the lion to the greatest of all beasts for courage, for strength. And we, as far as the church is concerned, we're to be as bold as a lion. Doesn't scripture say that? Strong for battle and warfare. And then there's also the face of an ox. That may now seem very dramatic, but it's an essential part of our character in Christ. The ox represents endurance, does it not? It's a beast of burden. It represents humility and patience and steadfastness and perseverance in service. And then there's the face of an eagle. And an eagle, the most majestic of birds, can rise above the things of this earth. They represent clear vision. I understand they can see prey a mile off. And also it's indicative of their heavenly power in testimony as the church. So these characteristics that are symbolized by the four faces represent qualities of our Christian service. Intellect and strength and humility, patience and vision. And if we lacked wisdom, it doesn't matter what our IQ may be, we can ask of God who gives liberally to all men and upbraideth not. And added to these four wings, denoting power and responsiveness to obey the divine commission, they had two of these wings that covered their bodies. Not only were they instant in service, but they were able to hide themselves or keep themselves out of sight. So what does that suggest? It suggests humility, does it not? John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease, speaking of John the Baptist. And also we note that their wings were joined. What does that imply? Unity in service. We are members fitly framed together in the body of Christ. There's one head, that is the Lord Jesus, and we are members of his body that he puts together, fitly frames us together to fulfill his work in the earth, his will in the earth, those works that he's called us to do, even greater works than those that he did, greater in abundance. Praise God. All right, well, you know, as I was preparing for this message, I was reminded of something we had done years ago. It's a little article. I'd just like to share it with you, and it's about eagles. It talks about the centurion eagle, and I believe this has basis in scientific fact. And if you should like this, feel free to request it. It's When Eagles Cry. When eagles naturally survive to about 40 years of age, a few live to be a century old. It's baffling that some of this species live more than twice as long as common. Most ordinarily, these centurion eagles fly just as fast and remain as sharp as the younger eagles. Praise God. Reminds us of those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Amen. So why should this be, talking about the centurion eagle? Well, typically, there's a reason. At about 40 years of age, a deadly pattern of behavior befalls the eagles, and if they don't survive it, they pass away. These magnificent birds, with their strength and cunning, are lured into the lowlands of the wilderness. Life is easier down there. And at first, it seems the game is plentiful and the living is easy. Rather than make the trip back to their nest high in the mountain, it's much easier to linger in the lowlands of the wilderness. But lo, the easy lifestyle for the eagle is a cruel trap. Soon, the sharp talons on his feet that could once rip flesh from the bones of live animals, many times his weight, begin to rot into wax and his feet swell. The eyes, which once could distinguish a rabbit from the underbrush a mile away, have become matted with fungus to virtual blindness. The nostrils, which help power his flight, have become calcified and obstruct breathing. Having stayed too long, sluggish and weak, the once great bird hobbles above the ground of the lowlands in captivity, a victim of his own mistake. Failing to eat, the eagles become weak and are doomed to die. That wasn't the lifestyle they were meant to live. But there are some eagles that are different, the centurion eagles. And And the article goes on, uniquely, within each of the centurion eagles, there's a deep calling of the Spirit. There's so much revelation, if you will, or relation or correlation to us as God's children. He wakes in the early light of morning, stretches forth his powerful wings, and looks up into the heavens. From deep within him comes a sad groaning, and tears flow from his proud eyes. The centurion eagle cries. Attuned to the call of his Spirit, each day the centurion eagle embarks on a mission. He catches fresh game, feeds himself, and carries meat to the lowlands. He dare not land there. Rather, he flies above the wilderness and drops fresh meat to the weak eagles that remain captive there. The centurion eagle, soaring above, calls for the captives to eat the fresh meat. Some of the eagles down in the wilderness do hear the call and eat. Gaining strength, they begin to flap their wings. Struggling against weakness, a precious few rise up into the wind and fly out of the wilderness. Listen what happens next. The eagle that breaks free of the wilderness returns to his nest high in the mountain. He becomes, he can become a centurion eagle then. Oh my goodness. He scratches his feet against the rocks. He renews the sharpness of his talons. He beats his beak to free his nostrils and his eyes clear in the fresh high mountain air. Redeemed and restored, the great bird now lives on to a century of life. He lives another 60 years, twice the age of a normal eagle. Remembering his own captivity and knowing other eagles who perished, the restored eagle joins the, quote, centurion call. Now he too will soar the wind above the wilderness and cry for those who are captive below. Author unknown. What a beautiful, I don't know how much is scientifically true, but it's a beautiful parable, if you will, for the body of Christ, for each one of us, because we can let the easy life becoming lax and lukewarm in our love for Christ, we can head down that same road of inefficiency and an early death in terms of spiritually being productive for the Lord. Well, my time is gone, and we'll continue on this message tomorrow in the tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, the announcer will give our contact information. I'll personally pray for you and send back whatever the Lord gives. If you choose to email, feel free to include your mailing address, confirm receipt, and pray. But I will personally respond to you if you send your mailing address. Love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,